Well, we were at practice, and I was doing something that I personally love to do, and that is coach kids. I've been coaching numerous sports for over a dozen years, and I love to build into kids, build into students, help them to do things they never thought they could do, and it's just something I'm passionate about, something that I love. And but on this particular day, I was in for a challenge that I don't know if I was completely ready for. There was one particular kid who was really, really struggling. It wasn't so much their ability, but more their attitude. And so I did what I often do, and that is just words of encouragement and pointing out places where they've excelled in the past, where they're excelling currently, pointing out their abilities and talents. And to be honest, this particular kid in this particular sport was actually one of the more gifted ones. The problem was, the kid didn't see it, and the kid didn't believe it. And no matter how much I spoke truth into their life, they just continued to believe that they would never accomplish this skill, they would never overcome this hurdle, that they were a failure. You know, Proverbs 23, verse 7 says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. This is from the New King James Version. It's a difficult translation to, or difficult verse to translate. So if you look it up in your Bibles, you're like, wait, this is about like not eating the food of a stingy man. And it's true. But the point that the proverb is making is this, is that the person who's constantly calculating their heart, that's who they are. They are stingy, right? And for as he thinks in his heart, so is he. So is he. You are what you think. And you know what? What you think doesn't even have to be true. Because a lie believed affects us the same as a truth received. A lie believed, we will have the same experiential processes as if it were true or if it's a lie. If we believe it, it will affect us the same. It's kind of like if you believe that going out in the cold will give you a cold, even though scientifically it's been proven not to be true, it will affect you. It'll affect how you parent. A lie believed will affect you the same as a truth received. If you believe that sitting too close to a TV will wreck your eyes, scientifically they've said that's actually not true. But it will affect how you raise your kids. It will affect what you do because a lie believed affects us the same as a truth received. And what we believe affects how we view everything, right? What you and I believe becomes the lens through which we see everything. It's how we see the world. It's the way we interpret actions of others. It's the way we see ourselves. It becomes a lens, and we interpret situations based on what we believe about the world, about others, or about ourselves. You know, it's interesting. Many years ago, everyone was a flat earther, right? I mean, for years, everyone thought the earth was flat. There's still a few out there, but everyone believed the earth was flat. And at that time, that was the lens through which they saw everything. And so if a ship went out to look for new lands and it disappeared and never returned, what did they conclude? The earth is flat and they must have sailed off the ends of the earth because that was the lens through which they saw everything and the ways they interpreted everything. And this is true as in other areas, right? If you believe about yourself that you're ugly, you will interpret the world and people's responses to you, and you will just it will just confirm and affirm the fact of what you already believe because it's the lens through which you view everything. You'll post something on Facebook and you'll only get a certain number of likes and you'll just conclude, see, I guess it's because I'm ugly. If you believe in your own heart that you are fat, it doesn't matter what the weigh scale says, it doesn't matter what your pant size says, you will always believe and you will interpret everything that happens and you will interpret yourself through that lens. What we believe, and it doesn't have to be true because it affects us the same as the truth, what we believe becomes a lens through which we see everything, which means this, your thinking shapes your life. Your thinking shaped your life. And if you want to change your life, you're going to have to change your thinking. You have to change your thinking. You know, today, I don't know if you knew, but today's Halloween. Happy Halloween. Is that happy? Okay. Happy Halloween. But Halloween's often been kind of considered, you know, a little bit dark and spooky, right? So I thought, what better day to talk about this dark and spooky thoughts of our own minds than on Halloween? But did you know October 31st is also for the church Reformation Day? That, hundreds of years ago, Martin Luther in 1517 in Wittenberg, Germany, made public his 95 Theses, which was about reforming or changing the church, and the faith that we walk in has been affected by that. And so although we're going to talk about the kind of spooky and dark side of our own thoughts, we're also going to look at what is it that God wants to do to reform our own minds, to bring it under the lordship of Jesus. So this is not a message about positive thinking, although positive thinking could help you. This is not a message just about thinking more positively. It's actually a message about thinking more godly. Because although positive thinking may be helpful, only godly thinking will cure you and I. Only godly thinking will cure us. You know, I want to also say regarding this message is really raw for me. I have long struggled with my own thoughts and with thoughts that are negative and dark, and I've believed many lies. And so I wasn't planning on preaching on this, but this has been a journey for a number of years that I've been walking through. And in fact, this last summer, I ordered a book to just kind of do some self-study called Winning the War in Your Mind by Craig Rochelle. Winning the War in Your Mind. And so this is, if you have to, as a pastor, have conquered an area before you're qualified to preach on it, I come to you unqualified today. This is a journey I'm still in, and you'll hear that throughout the message. Winning the War in Your Mind. So much of this message has been inspired by some of the things that Craig talks about. Some of them have taken directly from the book, and I'll try and mention those along the way. If this is a significant struggle for you, I want to encourage you, buy this book. Read it, dive into scripture. More than any of that, though, you can read things, you can sit through a 30-minute message, and nothing changes, because there's a lot of hard work we have to do to experience the life change and commitment to following God. And so I encourage you to do that. Much of the things we talk about, you could work through in Freedom Session if you wanted to do that. It would be important for you to be in a small group or find people that you can journey with. My own story is, for a number of years, I've met with a number of guys, and one of the guys in my group, he has journeyed. He's ahead of me in this area, and he always talks about his thought life and thinking God thoughts, and so it's really challenged me in my own thinking and living. So get involved in community and work through these things together in small groups or your marriages or families. Don't do it alone, okay? So your thinking shapes your life. If you want to change your life, you're going to have to change your thinking. And this isn't new news. The Apostle Paul 2,000 years ago said the same thing, the exact same thing, to the church in Rome. He says in Romans 8, verse 5 and 6, he says, "Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set on what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires." In essence, Paul is saying, listen, there's two different kinds of mindset. What's your mindset on? What is your mindset as you journey through life? And some of us, all of us, need a new mindset. We need to change what our minds are set on. And he refers to two things, the minds that's set on the flesh and the mind that's set on the Spirit, or the things the Spirit desires. And these two have outcomes, right? Because our thinking always leads to living, and it leads to outcomes. And that's what Paul says next. Here's the outcomes. He says, the mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. We need a new mindset. And we need to have our mindset on something different. Now, if we just look at outcomes, I mean, if the options are death or life and peace, which one are we all choosing, right? It's like, well, we want life and peace. But unfortunately, for many of us, our minds are still governed by our old patterns, old pathways of thinking, and old pathways of living. And although we want life and peace, we've never had our minds re-governed. And the idea of governed actually has lordship kind of talk. And if you're not a Christian, what's lordship? It means that you're saying, hey, my mind is not my own, and I will put it under my master, who is God. I will put it under my authority, who is Christ, that he is my Lord, and it will be governed by the Spirit. And as our minds are governed by the Spirit, it leads to life and peace. Your thinking shapes your life. Your thinking shapes your life. So, okay, that's great, but how, right? I mean, that's the question. It's like, yeah, I've struggled with my own thoughts, but how do I allow my mind to be governed by the Spirit? How does this all play out? Well, part of it is the Spirit of God just enters us and starts to do this, but there's a part that we play, I believe, in this as well. And I think Paul hints to this later on in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And we're going to dive into kind of two things that he mentions. One, you should not do or stop doing, that's tied to flesh or world thought processes and living, and one that's more Spirit, governed by the Spirit. So dive in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. It's in verse 2, those two things, but I want to start at verse 1. Paul kind of sets this all up, and he says, Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your proper, your true and proper worship. So Paul is saying, listen, in view of God's mercy, he's talking to people who have received Jesus as their Lord and as their Savior. That what Jesus did on the cross has saved them from their sin, and his resurrection has defeated sin in their life, right? Their children, how do we live in this sonship, in this daughtership of God now? He says, here's what you need to do. You need to offer your bodies a living sacrifice. Now in that culture, sacrifice pretty much meant one thing, death. I mean, if you sacrifice something, you like gave it up and you killed it. It was dead, right? But when Paul says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, he's saying, listen, it's a little bit different kind of sacrifice. I don't want you to go kill yourself because that's not helpful, but you're a living sacrifice. That means there's some things in you that need to die. And what that thing that needs to die is the flesh, the old patterns of thinking, the old patterns of living. That's what he's talking about. You need to let those things die. This is your spiritual act of worship. Your whole body is under the lordship of Christ, right? And then he plays this out in those two areas. Here's what you should not do, and here's something that you begin to do more and more. And here's what he says. He says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. As we don't conform any longer, and we begin to be reformed by the renewing of our mind, Paul says, then you're going to start living with your mind governed by the Spirit, which leads to life and peace. This is holy. This is pleasing to God. This is God's will for you. He wants you to have life, and he wants you to have peace. So two things. Do not conform. Do not be molded into the shape of living and the shape of thinking of this world. Paul uses the word world and flesh often interchangeably. Don't be formed into the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Don't conform, rather reform your mind. Well, Craig Rochelle, in his book, Winning the War in Your Mind, he talks about this in kind of two ways when it comes to our mind. And he says, if we're not going to conform, and he doesn't make this correlation with this verse, but he says, you actually need to begin to remove the lie. And for some of us, probably for most of us, it's actually we need to remove the lies. There are multiple lies that you and I believe. Multiple lies. And it's sometimes hard to discern whether they're true or not because a lie believed affects us the same as a truth received. And we view the world and we view others and we view ourselves through some things that are not true. They're lies. And they've created all kinds of unwanted and unhealthy behaviors and patterns of living for us. These are lies. So what do we do with lies? You know, it's interesting. Psychologists have found that the best way to get someone to believe something, even a lie, is simply through repetition. You just say it over and over and over and over and over again, and eventually we believe it. It becomes true for us. And it's interesting. Jesus said this about the devil, our enemy. He says he's the father of lies. The father of lies. That's what he does. He just lies. He's deceptive. Have you ever noticed that the devil never really comes up with creative lies? He just speaks the same lies to you in your mind over and over and over and over and over again until you begin to believe it. He's not creative. He's simply repetitive. And maybe a lie that you've heard over and over and over that you've begun to believe is a lie that you're not enough. You're not enough. You know, you are not. You are a failure. You're a failure. You're a failure until you believe, you know, I'm a failure. Maybe the lie you believed is that you're a victim. Bad things just happened to you and bad things are going to keep happening to you and you're just waiting for the next bad thing to happen because you're a victim. You're a victim. You're a victim. Maybe a lie that you believed is the lie that says that you are ugly, 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 ugly. You are ugly. Maybe the lie that you've believed is a lie that says I'm unlovable. I'm unwanted. People don't want me. Nobody wants me. Nobody wants me. And you know, the devil never comes up with new lies. He just keeps saying the same lie over and over until we begin to believe it. And that lie gets rutted into our mind and it begins a behavior that becomes a rut in our life. A rut in our life. You know, I grew up in northern Alberta. high level, the land of swamp and bush. That's where I grew up my first 15 years of living. And high level is just swamp and bush, and we lived on an acreage, and just beside our acreage was this cut line about a mile and a half long to a field. And you, most of you, if you grew up in the prairies, you don't even know what a cut line is, because we don't have trees. You got to look for trees. There, you got to look for not a tree, because there's just trees everywhere, right? So a cut line is like a 10 to 15 foot wide pathway through a dense, dense bush. And the bush was so dense, and the trees kind of covered over the pathway, that that there were parts of the cut line that never dried out. They were just permanently wet, which made for a lot of fun, because you could go mudding any time of the year, I mean, other than winter, any time of the summer you wanted, right? It's just mudding all the time. And we go mudding, we take old vehicles and run them through the mud. And after repetition, what began to form were ruts, right? They just happened, right? And eventually it got to the point where it's like, if you wanted to get through the cut line to the field, you had to try to maneuver your way through the cut line without getting into a rut. Because the moment you slid into a rut, and the ruts always have a way of kind of just sucking you in, the moment you were in a rut, you were like, there's no chance, no matter how sharp I turn the wheel, there's no chance I'm getting out of the rut, and I will get stuck in this rut. I'm not getting through. This is what ruts do, right? You know, ruts, to define a little bit, ruts are unintentional and purposeless tracks. No one wanted them to happen. They happen because of repetition. Someone just drove that dirty, dusty, wet road over and over, and ruts began to appear. They're purposeless tracks. They create problems for us, and they are nuisances, and they always need fixing. This is what ruts are. But do you know that you can create ruts in your own mind? Physically, in your own brain, you can create ruts. Do you know that every time you think a thought, a neural pathway is created in your brain? Physically, it happens. In your brain, a physical pathway is created. And if you think that thought more and more and more and over and over and over again, that thought comes easier and easier and easier. They're called mental neural pathways, mental ruts in essence. Not all mental ruts are bad. Some are actually good because they allow us to do life without always thinking so hard, right? So like simple math, 1 + 1 is, you didn't have to think, right? It's 2. It's just a mental rut. You've heard that so many times, it just happens. Or driving a car. Probably the first time you drove a car, you had to think really hard, right? Like, do I signal now? Do I signal later? What do I do? And if it's a standard, it's like, oh, do I let out the clutch when? And the gas, and it's jerky. But after driving for a while, you don't even think, right? I mean, now you drive and you're like talking on the phone, which is illegal. And you're like driving and you're, you know, I had a trucker once tell me, he's like, I can drive an 18-speed semi-truck with a full load on it. Well, you know, smoking my cigarette, eating my sandwich with my coffee in my hand and talking on the phone while shifting 18 gears. And I'm like, I don't know if I believe it, but that's pretty impressive, right? How do we do that? We do that because we don't even think about driving. In fact, sometimes like, was I just driving? Like, what just happened? It's automatic because there's been mental ruts, mental pathways in your brain that have been created. But some of the mental pathways in our brains are very, very unhealthy. They're lies that we believe, right? Lies that we believe. And this is why, you know, at first it's awkward and then it just becomes normal. In fact, if we do it enough and think it enough, it just becomes so automatic. We do things without even knowing we're doing it, or we think things without even thinking about what we're thinking about. It's why maybe the very first time that you were feeling a little bit lonely and you looked at porn to kind of make you feel better, or you felt like you weren't enough and you looked at porn, it was kind of awkward at first, but now it's just, you've done it so often, it just becomes so normal. Or maybe the very first time that you played the victim card and you had this attention-seeking behavior, it felt kind of weird at first, but then you just, it became so normal and you just do it without thinking now. Why the first time you had a lonely day or an emotional day and you're like sat down and ate an entire tub of ice cream, but then all of a sudden it's like now you just do that all the time. Every time emotions hit, you just find yourself eating and you don't even think about it. It just happens. It's just so automatic. Why every time, you know, the first time maybe you got angry to try and control someone and it felt kind of weird at first, but then you realize I can gain control with through my anger, and now you just get angry and you don't even think about it. Just anger happens to you. And it's like we didn't even think about it, just kind of happened, right? It's awkward at first, but the more we think those thoughts and the more we behave in that way, it can become so automatic that we just do it without even thinking about it. And Paul comes along and says, you're going to need to remove the lie. There's some lies you believe, and you're going to need to remove the lie. And those lies lead to unhealthy patterns of thinking, but also unhealthy patterns of living. Unhealthy patterns of living. So here's my question to you. What are some lies that you believe? Some lies that you believe that have led you to do some things that you hate doing, and it's become very automatic for you. What are some lies that you believe? You know, I said earlier, this is very raw for me. This is something I wrestle with. There's a lot of lies that I believe. Let me just give you a personal story how this has worked for me, and maybe that helps you kind of start to discern some things that about your thinking and your behaving. You know, one of the unwanted behaviors that I've struggled with since a child is a lack of self-control, anger. And I realized after a few years ago, as I was working through this, what's the lie? What's underneath? Because sometimes we just attack behavior. We're like, I'm just going to not be angry anymore. I'm going to stop looking at porn. I'm just going to stop, you know, binge eating. I'm just going to stop, you know, this behavior. But there's an underlying lie. If we never deal with, we'll never fix the behavior because the lie will still be there. It will drive us to the behavior. And so I was like, what is the lie that I'm believing? I realized I have many lies that I've believed in my life, but there was one particular lie that manifested itself in many unwanted behaviors in my life. This lie led me to people-pleasing, unwanted people-pleasing that I would just people-please. It led me to workaholism. This lie would lead me to anger, and I'm gonna talk a little bit about that. It would lead me to these unwanted behaviors. Anxiety, and the lie was this: I am not enough. I'm a failure. And this one time, I was struggling with my kids who were misbehaving. And I was getting so angry inside at my kids misbehaving. And I remember thinking, you know, my kids' behavior is on them, but what's happening in my heart is actually on me. And I got to deal with what's happening in my heart. I'm like, why am I getting so angry about my kids' misbehavior? And I realized something. I realized that I got especially angry when my kid or kids misbehaved in public. And I remember thinking through that, well, what's the lie that's underneath this anger? And I realized every time they misbehave in public, I realize in that moment, their misbehaving is reflective of my parenting. And if people see my kid misbehaving, they may conclude that I'm a bad dad. And here's the deal, I'm a pastor in a small town. And everybody knows me, right? And everybody knows my kids. And I realized if people think that I'm a bad dad, then I'm a bad pastor, and that means I have what? Failed. And this lie surfaced. I kept saying, I'm a failure. I'm a failure. I'm not enough. And suddenly I realized that my anger over my kids' misbehavior was not constructive to help them with their behavior. It was actually reflective of me. And there was something underlying my unwanted behavior, underlying that behavior, a lie that I had believed that I needed to remove. What about you? What are some of the lies that you believe that have led you to behaviors? You think, why do I just do that so automatically? Why do I think that so automatically? What are some of the lies that you believe? What are some of the lies that you believe? You know, Paul says, do not conform. There's a pattern of thinking, a pattern of behaving. But as a child of God, don't fall into those ruts. Don't be taking on that mold. Don't be conformed. But he also says something else. Be transformed by the renewing. There's a new kind of thinking, leads to a new kind of living. So do not conform, rather reform your mind. The way Craig Rochelle says it is remove the lie, but you got to replace that lie with truth. You got to replace that lie with truth. If lies that come into us kind of came to us, you know, accidentally, they were unintentional, they were just repeated over and over like ruts, right? Ruts, they're just unintentional, purposeless tracks. They're problems, they're nuisances, they need fixing. If this is what lies are, here's the good news about your mind. Although there are ruts in your mind, lies that you believe, patterns of thinking that you have, the good news is you can rewire your mind. You can actually create new pathways, new neural pathways in your mind. And by God's help and His Spirit, you can. And nobody can stop you because God's spirit and God's power is unstoppable. And so the good news is, although there's ruts, Craig talks about the fact that we can take those ruts and we can begin to dig trenches of truth. There's ruts that are lies that happen, but there are trenches of truth. And trenches are different than ruts because trenches are intentional, right? We dig trenches on purpose. They don't just happen by accident. And trenches are purposeful. They actually help create solutions to existing problems. And this is what Craig talks about in his book. He says, we can actually create new pathways called trenches of truth in our mind. And Paul says this exact thing about renewing our mind, being formed into the mold of God. He says in Philippians 4:8, he says, here's the intentional trenches of truth. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. This is the new way that we're formed in Christ. That suddenly the old patterns and the old thought processes that led us to all these unwanted behaviors that led us to self-destruction, to death, that there's new patterns of thinking. Patterns that say, I'm going to think on things that are true. I'm going to think on things that are noble, and I'm going to think on things that are right and pure and lovely and admirable. If things are excellent and praiseworthy, I'm setting my mind on that. My mind will be governed, not by the flesh, but governed by the Spirit. But this is going to be a challenge, isn't it? And this has been a challenge for me for at least two reasons. Because one, some of the ruts in my mind are very, very deep. And it's hard to change old patterns of thought. But the other reason is that there are unintentional intrusive thoughts that bombard our brain, that bombard our minds every single day. Psychologist Eric Klinger did a study, and what he found, and this is his findings, he found that there are up to, in a 24-hour period, up to 500 unintentional intrusive thoughts that come into our mind every single day. These are thoughts we hadn't planned on thinking. Thoughts that just kind of enter our mind, and they're intrusive, they're unintentional, they're not what we wanted, they just kind of show up in our mind. And remember, the thoughts that come easiest are the ones that we have already created a path for, right? So it's like these intrusive, unintentional thoughts just hit us. What do we do with these thoughts? How do we live in this kind of new thinking, a renewing of the mind? Well, Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, he says, we as Christians, as followers of Jesus, we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. We take captive every thought. This is what this means. It means every time a thought enters your mind, whether you had planned it or it had planned you, right? Whether it was intentional or it was unintentional, you take every thought as a follower of Jesus and you say, you're in prison and you don't get out of jail. There's no free pass. You're in prison until I know, are you obedient to Christ or are you not obedient to Christ? And if it's not obedient to Christ, you get no free rein in my mind. You are in prison. But if you are going to be obedient to Christ and you go back to God's word, is this thought true? Is this thought noble? Is this thought admirable? Is this thought excellent or praiseworthy? Is this thought pure? And if it passes the test, it gets free rein in your mind. But if it's not obedient to Christ, it is not free because your mind is now governed by the Spirit. It's no longer governed by the flesh. And this is intentionality. It's saying every day, 500 thoughts a day, I hadn't planned on. I have to be ready and aware. That thought just entered my mind. I take it captive. I put it in jail. Wait, it's obedient. Okay, you get free rein. Otherwise, you don't get to live here. It's intentionality, right? And what Paul is saying is, listen, you need to remove the lie and replace it with truth. You need to remove the lie and replace it. Don't conform, but be reformed. Be transformed by the renewing, a new thought process in your mind. So here's the deal. I have some homework for all of us to do. Unless you're like, man, my mind's awesome. I never have thoughts I don't want. If that's you, you know, I hope you had a good nap today. But for the rest of us, normal people, the homework is this. I want you to do a little bit of self-inventory this week and say, what are some thoughts that I'm thinking that have become so automatic, but they're not true? Or what are some behaviors in my life that I don't really like, but I've been attacking the behavior, and it's time to try and figure out what is the lie underneath that behavior that's driving and fueling that behavior? What are some of the lies that I believe? And I want you to, this is going to take some work. Again, if you don't want to do it, you'll probably just continue in the pattern you're in. But if you want to start saying, God, I want to be governed by your spirit. I want to have a mind that's governed by you. Take consideration of your thoughts. Say, which ones are obedient to Christ and which ones aren't? And which ones do I need to remove? And then I want you to, as you find out those lies that you've been tempted or you have believed and they've become a pathway in your mind, I want you to Google verses. You can dive into your Bible, but somehow get into God's word and find verses that connect with your particular area of lie, that pathway that you don't believe, and start digging a trench of truth. And every time that lie shows up, you say, no, that's the old pattern, but I declare God's truth in my life in this specific area right now. And I will declare this truth and I will repeat it and repeat it and repeat it until it becomes so automatic I don't have to think about it anymore. It just happens to me because it's a neural pathway in my mind. And if you're like, I don't even know where to start, I'm gonna give you a cheat sheet. I've thought of a few areas, kind of common lies that we believe that I've tied to scripture. And maybe if one of these connect with you, you can use that as a starting point, but please don't use that as the only point. This is personal. This is what you have to do, you and God. And so put it in your own words. But here's a few lies that I think are common to many of us that I would encourage us to replace with truth. Maybe you believe this lie. The lie says, I'm not enough. And you believe that lie since you were a kid. I don't know if it was your dad or if it was some other situation. Maybe your friends made fun of you as a child, but you just always believed, I'm not enough, I'm not enough, I'm not enough. And when that lie hits, you're gonna start to dig a trench of truth that says this. God's word says, God's spirit is in me, and in Christ, I am all he intended me to be, right? Amen? That every time the lie says, hey, I'm not enough, I'm not enough, and you wanna go to porn or you wanna go to whatever. No, God's truth is that his spirit is actually in me, and I am everything he intended me to be. Everything. That's who I am in Christ. And when, you know, the lie hits that I won't have enough, and it leads you to just struggle to being a generous person, and you become this miser, and you're always wondering when you're going to run out of money. It's just a lie that's constantly in your head. I'm not going to have enough. I'm not going to have enough. I'm going to declare God's truth that says God provides, and I am generous. As a child of God, that's who I am. I'm going to declare it because 2 Corinthians 9:11 says it, right? This is who I am in Christ. And when a lie hits that says, you know what, I'm a failure. In fact, I'm a failure before I ever tried anything because I've already believed it and I'm gonna live into my dream, right? I'm gonna declare the truth that says, no, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4:13. And if I can't do something, it means I'm just walking on the wrong pathway because everything God intends me to do, he will equip me to do. It doesn't mean I'm a failure. And when the lie hits that says, I'm ugly, and you post something, and you just reaffirms the lens through which you see the world, see, I'm ugly, I don't have enough likes, whatever it is, I'm gonna declare God's truth that says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made in his image, Psalm 139, right? And every time that comes into my mind, I'm gonna dig a trench of truth built on God's word. And when a lie says that I am unwanted, I am unwanted, and maybe you were abandoned as a child by your father or by your mother. Maybe your spouse left you, and it's just this lie that's reaffirmed. It's the lens through which you see everything. Every time someone leaves you, you feel like, there it is, I'm unwanted. I'm gonna dig a trench of truth from God's word that says, no, I am a child of God, and I was bought at a price. That means I'm wanted, because no one buys something they don't want, and I was adopted as a child. Children happen to people, but adoption is choice. And that means God wanted me. I am a wanted child of God, bought at a price. And I declare that truth until it becomes so automatic. It's a thought that comes to me without me thinking. When the lie hits that says, I am a victim, have you noticed many of the lies that we believe and we define ourselves by are from situations that happened in our life? Maybe we were victimized once. We were abandoned once. We were without money once. We failed once, or maybe we failed twice or three or 50 times, whatever it is, but these were moments in our life, and eventually we begin to define ourselves and say, this is actually who I am. And maybe you were victimized and you just believe, I'm actually a victim. It's not just something that happened, or it's not just something that's happening, it's something that will always happen because this is who I am. And whenever that lie hits that I am a victim, I will declare God's truth and dig a trench of truth that says, no, if God is for me, who can be against me? Romans, right? I will declare this truth and I will dig a trench and a new pathway of thinking. When the lie hits that says, I am not safe, right? I am not safe. I'm in perpetual unsafety. This is just who I am. This is what my life is. I will declare God's truth that says, no, my times are in God's hands and I will trust him. Psalm 31, right? And this was a time when David was not safe. And he said, no, this is not who I am. My times are in God's hands and I will trust in him. My safety is in God, not in my situation. And when the lie hits that says, food will make it better because you had a parent every time you were emotional, they just fed you. And now whenever you feel emotions, you just eat and eat and you binge eat and all this, that you will declare God's truth that says, no, I do not live on bread alone. God makes it better. And so I will not overeat and I will not undereat. But I trust in God and his word is my food. And he is the one that I trust to make better. When the lie hits that says sexual immorality is my only release, this is my only option, I will declare God's truth and dig a trench of truth that says, no, my body is God's house. There is a way out. I will seek him. This is who I am. I am a child of God. And when the lie hits that says, I have control and through anger, I will control. And it worked for you once, right? You got angry at your kids, you got angry at your spouse, you got angry at your coworkers, and suddenly they behave different. And you believe the lie you had control, and that through anger you would control, and it's become so automatic that you begin to dig a trench of truth that says, God's word says that he is in control. And that means I don't have to get angry. In fact, I can take a Sabbath. I can rest. I have to always be anxious and giving into anger. I can rest in him. You know, you need to remove the lie, the old pattern. Don't conform to the pattern of this world. Be transformed. Renew your mind. Replace the lie with truth. Your thinking shapes your life. Your thinking shapes your life. Now, if you need a cheat sheet as you go home to process your own lies, Andrew did a ton of work this week, and he put all of those on a little pamphlet that's out in the lobby if you want to grab that to go home. But again, do not use that as your only sheet. Do your work. Dive into your own heart and say, God, reveal to me the lies that I believe and show me your truth, and let me begin to dig trenches of truth in my life that become automatic pathways of thinking as I am governed, not by the flesh, but as your child, I am governed by your spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for joining us today. We trust you have been encouraged and challenged in your faith journey. If you're desiring prayer, want more information on our church, want to partner with us, or be involved in any way, please go to our website at mountoliveefc.com. We'll see you next time.